A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and we are back in New Cross Gate.
Do you know what?
Very relaxed.
When I put Waze in, do you know what this address comes up as? Work. So I've got home and work. So here is work and the other one, I'll show you, and the other one is home.
Oh, you haven't done any work here yet. Here I am. I'm on cooking duty today and it's an absolute pleasure to be cooking. I'm actually trying. I'm getting
Are
into
you excited?
Substack, Mum.
Oh, I've Have you joined? You have to
I've joined and I've subscribed to a few people. And one of the people that I've subscribed to is somebody that I've been following for years and I always do his egg recipes whenever we're doing a brekkie. His name's Edward Smith, Ed Smith, Rocket and Squash on Instagram, and he is also that on Substack. Anyway, I saw that he did something really delicious the other day. Spatchcock chicken with like orzo, and it just looked really delicious, so I thought I'd try. It's not very much the springtime lunch that I was hoping for because it is grey and cold outside. However, spatchcock, it's a really hard word to say. Say it.
Spatchcock.
Oh, you're easy. Very easy for you to say.
Very
catchy. Spatchcock chicken with orzo, and it usually is done with pancetta. However, our guest doesn't eat pork. So the spatchcock chicken is done with butter under the skin, parmesan, lemon zest, and it sits on like wedges of lemon. And it makes I'm going to stop saying. I'll just say SC chicken. It's much quicker to cook and I really like it and I feel like it's always more juicy. I spatchcocked it myself.
You didn't?
Actually, it's really easy. I mean, it's easy if you don't get the wrong side of the bird.
Have you got poultry shears?
I don't know. I use the ones that I do my presents with.
Oh.
And it worked.
So
maybe I'm doing my presents with poultry shears.
Maybe.
Anyway, it worked. It's actually quite simple. As Ed suggested. Anyway, that served with, I think the guest is here, served with orzo and spring veg. So I've just put in a tender stem and peas, and I'm going to add some asparagus for extra crunch, an onion, and then we're doing it with this really nice tarragon yogurt dressing that he suggests.
Gorgeous.
Quite light, fab. Then we've got lapsang souchong plums that I've done before because you know I'm not a pud gal.
Yeah.
And we'll have that with some creme fraiche and some ginger snaps. I think Beth Ditto has just joined us because I can hear the Southern hospitality at the front door.
Barely talked about her.
Beth Ditto is one of my idols.
I love her. Photo.
She's fantastic. Gossip are back. They just headlined the Six Music Festival and she's been on everything. She's done Sunday brunch. She's coming here for some lunch. Can't wait to have an hour and a half with Beth Ditto from Gossip. They've got a new album out called Real Power. It's brilliant. She's the best. Here she is. Come in. Beth Ditto, you've come in like a ball
like
of
a
beautiful...
Parakeet.
Like no, no.
Like a tree full of parakeets. Because... For real, it was one of the loudest things I've ever heard. And amazing.
I'm thrilled to have you in Southeast London.
Is that where we are?
We are.
Show the picture, Jessie.
Do I show you the picture now?
Yeah, well, do whatever you want. Okay. There's no rules.
Okay, so...
I have a feeling we're going to be just fine in the fodder department.
Okay, so listen.
I'm going to be really shy.
You have been Jessie's biggest idol.
My first Glastonbury...
I love Jessie. I'm so excited.
My first Glastonbury...
I can't believe she's going to tell you the story in front of you.
So my first Glastonbury, yes. I was a punter. I was going to watch my friends. I was watching you, the gossip, headline.
What's a punter?
I was like, not... I wasn't performing. I was like...
with the people.
Were you sneaking in?
I bought my ticket.
I love when people sneak in.
No, but this is why I think you liked me. So you, the gossip were headlining the John Peel tent.
Oh, that's one of the most iconic moments. It was. Not because of, iconic, babes. I almost said that because John Peel is such an icon.
Show her the photo.
Okay, so you remember this gig, the gossip headlined. You were in latex, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe, actually, I'll just let you know you were in that.
Oh, I do. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
So we snuck backstage. You'd come off stage. It was pissing down. We sung Umbrella together because it was pissing down. And you...
Oh, my God. I remember that like it was fucking yesterday. I've never heard the song before. Do you remember me being like, what the hell are you singing?
And you got into it, Beth.
Yeah. Because it was hilarious. I thought you had made up this song.
Yeah, I was like,
this is a number jam. One hit.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. No.
Wait, you can spot it. Hit.
Honey, I have an ear for
So we snuck backstage.
I'm so sorry.
And it was brilliant. It was the best way to finish. The rainiest Glastonbury, my first Glastonbury, we snuck backstage. Mine the too. Security are like, no, and you're going, anarchy, anarchy.
And you're like, Amarilla, Ella, Ella.
Yeah, and we're singing that and you're like there and it was just magic.
Bless their
heart. So basically, I've loved you ever since. Well, we loved you anyway. We came to see you played in Concord. When I was at university, we went to see you at Concord too in Brighton.
Because you're younger than me. So you have all of these, like, it's just so crazy.
That is my story. I'm a fan. Well, I've been a fan for a while. And you're in my kitchen. And I'm cooking
you,
chicken.
Thank you, me too. And I was like, this morning I was listening to you. And one of the, like, this new person that started working with us is, she's 32. To me, she's a baby. Now I look at 32-year-olds, they're like, I'm having a baby. I'm like, don't you think you should think about your choices? You got... You know what I mean? Because I look at them now and I'm like, listen, honey, listen. As you're older, you're too young.
Well, can
you wait till you're 49.
Can I ask how old you are?
172. Oh, right. No, I'm 43.
You're not.
I am.
Look at that skin.
It's skin not real. Beautiful. Actually, this is a mask.
It's you look fantastic.
I pulled it off and I was a parakeet. I was like, gotcha. what? But, no. That moment, though, I had to tell you that when you said that, like, because you were talking about the first time we met. In my memory, the first time we had met was at Hootenanny.
Which is quite iconic as well.
Oh, so I fun. It was that.
Two iconic places.
That was so fun. Now, when you showed up, I was like, we are fun people. Like, I was like, we are the nice ones, or whatever. Not really, because I'm a horrible person.
So you were really young when you were headlining John Peel's stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yes. You must have been, because you
Look
must
at
have been...
this on track, Mama.
No, I'm not. You must have been 18, 19.
I was...
No, 20.
I was going to say, because that's probably... Because you're
probably... I'm 39.
Yeah, you're 39. Because the only reason I knew that is because I Googled it. Because I always thought you were really, really young, too.
I thought you were going to say the other thing.
I thought you partied with Stevie Nicks in the 70s. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. No, but real, no, for real, I thought you were super duper young. I have tried to tell people that story so many times and I did not realize that was you. And in my memory, I was like, the first time I'd ever heard that song was you. And who was your friend you were with?
Sarah.
I remember the two of you. I can, like, when you show me that picture and then you tell me that story, I remember your haircut. I remember, like, because everybody...
He looked like drowned rats, to be honest.
But no, that was the thing, is that everybody did, but y'all did it because you had an umbrella. But this is the thing. So that song was a really big deal. Like, you know, it was huge. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
But I remember, it's such an important story and such a core memory for me because it was that day.
Yeah.
And I remember two girls walking up and being so hilarious and fun. But I remember y'all singing that Umbrella, Ella, Ella. And I was like, these girls are singing a hit.
We were really...
I did not know it was Rihanna's song. I thought you made it up. And I remember that. And
that
I don't
know. Really good.
Did she had a hit before that? That could really
be... Rihanna.
Big... Yeah, I'd what was say, the one before that, though?
Did she hear Mr. DJ? Was that before that? And yeah, she had a few.
I did not even... I'd never even heard that song. And I can't tell you. It doesn't sound that crazy when I'm telling you, but I'm always like... I've tried to retell that story and be like... I thought two girls made it up in the rain. Like, I was like... And that you even remember that. I'm like, oh my God, that was you!
Of course I remember. It was massive and it was
and
amazing.
And then I thought you wrote Umbrella.
Well, thank you.
I did.
I wish.
I wish you had.
But then you were like, you know... Then both of y'all kept trying to explain it to me, too. Like, you know, do you remember? And I was like, no.
But you were, can I just say though, Beth, you were so kind.
Tell me more about me.
Okay, so.
Well, so were you. We had a good time. That was a really.
Yeah, but like, we were little random kind of people that just jumped through the gates.
So was
basically.
I.
But you had just headlined the tent. Mm. You'd killed it. And then you had time
that's
for
so
us
sweet.
To
Thank
basically
you.
Launch ourselves on you. And that's why you are rock and roll and also the most fabulous person in music.
Finally,
and
someone said it. I didn't want to be the one that said it. But coming from another fabulous person in music, I mean, that's kind of just what has to be the standard now.
I'm going to ask you some food questions.
You
Beth.
Can. Yeah.
So, big family, mm-hmm. grew up in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Who was around the dinner table and what was a very memorable dish from your childhood?
It's funny I think about, because my mother and, you know, we were really working class, grew up Southern Baptist. Like, I always said that Arkansas diversity, like religious diversity, was that a Southern Baptist and like a Church of Christ was in the same room. Like that was diversity.
That was diverse.
Like
okay.
people were like, woo, we are, barriers are being crossed. We are breaking bread with the Pentecostals. Like, you know, it was like, not really, but it was like that. There wasn't, but it ruled everything around Arkansas. That's another story. It connects somehow. But like,
So
I grew up
church?
Southern Baptist. I didn't go to church all the time.
Was Southern Baptist, did it have lots of music?
It did, because church always does.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
did you like the music? Did you sing in the choirs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But it's spreading the word as well, Baptist, isn't it?
It will.
Is it evangelical?
It can
way?
Be.
Yeah.
It can be. It all can be, can it? But when I think about family and food.
You're growing up.
There were a lot of us.
Yeah.
My mother worked. She was a nurse. And she wasn't just a nurse, but she was a nurse's aide, so she got even less respect than she deserved, okay. even though she did all the grunt work.
Yeah.
You know, and was really smart and really passionate about it, did really well. She worked with geriatrics. So she just worked really hard. And there were eras in my life when we'd sit around the table and eat, but I was very, very young. And my parents got divorced when I was 5. So... There weren't like many like big family meals.
Did you stay living
after
with your
that?
Mom?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. All of you?
No, it went back and forth.
Okay.
It's not like my childhood is not very linear. There's not a lot. It wasn't very. It's not cohesive. It was very like.
Are you one of the youngest?
It was very chaotic. I'm the middle child, middle girl.
A middle child.
Obvious. But back to food and stuff. We had food that we ate. My mom. I don't want to say she's a bad cook. She would never listen to this, bless her heart. Maybe she would. She surprises me sometimes. She's more of a look at pictures of birds on Instagram lady.
Hence like, why you knew the parakeet.
Listen, I know a parakeet from miles away. Thank you, Mom. But like she's just this, like she's a different lady. She's kind of disconnected.
So what was a meal? She wasn't a great cook, you're
I mean,
saying,
it was, because we grew up poor, so there was a lot of like... the memories of my childhood have been like a family. It goes in phases because of divorce and stuff like that. So there's different ways. It's like, you know, when I was a dad, it would be like pizza. Remember when you were a kid, that was a big deal to go out to eat. That was the thing. You know, it's different now, I think. But like if I was with you, when we were with dad, he would like get pizza and you'd be like, dad's getting pizza, what? Because you can get that all the time. I didn't have spaghetti till I was like 6. I remember the day I had it the first time. But it was like beans and cornbread.
Okay.
Big pots of beans.
What kind of beans?
Things like that. Great northern beans, like white beans, pinto beans.
Okay.
Yeah, and it would just be salt. You put a ham hock in it.
Okay.
Or like a turkey neck or something. Cheap okay. meat. And then you fed everybody. Everybody had protein. You'd have like fried okra with it. Or you always had fried potatoes with it. You know, it's just like very simple meat and potatoes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it. You know, I still love it. That's what has ruined me. I think I'm so meat and potatoes that, you know, people... I went out to this dinner in L.A. recently. It was like a business thing. And I was just joking, but half joking. But I just was like, because I didn't... I was talking to the person who was planning. He's like, I'm going to see you on such and such. I'm going to book the restaurant. And I was like, God help you if you try to get me to split up in a bone and eat the marrow. And I was like, God help you. But I was joking. But, you know...
Where did you go?
We went to Evie or something like that. It was a nice restaurant. And the food was really nice. But I was just like... My point was, like, don't take me somewhere nice. It's going to be lost on me. And then I'm going to, like... feel bad about myself. I'm just gonna be like, I don't want you to think I'm not grateful, because I'm like, a lamb, thank you. I don't know what to do with this.
You don't eat lamb, do you?
No, you don't. We did not eat that
growing
up.
Do you eat steak?
I don't now.
You just eat poultry, don't
you?
Yeah,
it's a thing.
I have heard you talk about roadkill and eating roadkill.
This blew people's minds in this country. So I don't remember how old I was, 20 something. And they were asked, the question was, it was from a magazine, tell me about the first time you got stoned. And I said, okay, I remember like it was yesterday. I was 13 or 14, and me and my cousin, who I lived with at the time, played hooky. We stayed from school, and we were home by ourselves. And he had pot. And he's like, do you want to get stoned? I was like, yes. And he was a major stoned about that point. He's kind of a mess up. He's a horrible kid person now. But anyway, that's whatever. So we're getting stoned, and I'm sitting there. It's not really working, but he's obviously ripped out of his gourd. And we had these windows that you could slide open. They didn't go up and down. They slid the other way. And he gets out his BB gun, and he starts shooting into the trees. He's shooting squirrels. I know what's happening, you know, whatever. So I'm just telling the story. I'm like, so this is the first time I got stoned. And I was like, and then, you know, he got the munchies because the stone, you know,
oh my
pot
God.
Gives you the munchies. So he went around and he cleaned them, and we ate them. We fried them and ate them.
Oh my God.
Okay, so the thing is.
What do they taste like?
Chicken. It always does.
Okay.
But the thing was, I was like telling the story. I was just telling the story about getting stoned. And the journalist was like, what? Like, I was like, yeah, that was my, it didn't really work. Like, it was like, I was that stoned. And then he was like, but you ate the squirrel? I did not know it was weird until then. And then people were obsessed with it.
Did you skin? Who skinned the squirrel?
I'm not skinning. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
What did you
But we ate squirrel a lot.
What did you have it with?
You would fry it. You would fry it like chicken.
Fry it, yeah.
You would eat it like, you know, you put it in dumplings. If you look at Loretta Lynn, you know, Loretta Lynn, she has a cookbook. And if you go in her
Loretta
cookbook, there's,
Lynn.
Yes, and there's,
oh my God.
There's squirrel all in it.
What was her famous song, Loretta
Coal Miner's Daughter? I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter.
I'm going to start serving, just sorting this out. Mum is going to ask you about your last supper, okay?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't there, but I hear that it was pretty sad. I mean, I bet it was happy for him, but, you know, later days. Yes.
Would you have squirrel on your last supper?
No.
For old time's sake.
You know what's funny is one of my friends is from Britain, came home with us to Arkansas. And my brother's 52, and he lives where my mom and dad grew up. Back then, it was the small town, it was like 200 something people. Now it's only 80 people. But he still lives down
80
there.
80 people?
Yeah, you know, people, I mean, you think it's like the old days, but people still, that's the way people live. You know, everything my granny ate, she canned. Everything she wore, she sewed. She's one of those Pentecostal women that had long hair and only wore dresses.
Oh my gosh.
She was fantastic. Spoke in tongues in church. Love, that's my
tongues.
That's my dad's mom. That's
my
granny Ditto.
Oh my gosh.
But those people, like, it's still real down there.
So Ditto is your real name?
Yeah. See, that's what people understand.
Granny Ditto.
So my dad's name is Homer. Well, he died, my dad.
Homer Ditto,
yeah.
But what's your heritage? That's a great name.
I know. And there's a whole thing. There's a fluke about it. And I always had to get it's a whole other conversation. I'll tell you about it when we're on the.
So
I'll tell you about it when I come over to watch Coal Miner's Daughter.
What's your heritage? So everyone from America has heritage.
They
from
do, but I don't know mine. I think when you're like, I think one thing when you grow up poor, you're just like, I don't know. We're all cousins, really. Someone said to me the other day, where were they from? Oh, something about an arranged marriage. Their parents or grandparents had been in an arranged marriage and they were cousins. And I was like, oh my God, they were in an arranged marriage, but they were cousins. My grandparents too. I was like, oh my God. But everybody's the same. I don't know my heritage. It's a very very straight family tree. It goes straight down, doesn't fork. But I don't know a lot about it. I know that
name,
my...
Ditto.
Ditto is supposedly French.
French.
Here's a crazy story about that. We grew up, my dad would say, well, my great-granddad was Benny. And that's my brother's name now, my oldest brother.
Benny.
And we were told that we were Italian.
Ditto sounds more Italian
right?
than French.
Right, it does.
Yeah.
And it's D-I-T-T-O. So, and my dad and my nephews, too, some of my nephews, because I have a lot. But my dad had huge black curly hair. Like in the 70s, it looked amazing because he loved a leisure suit. And he had a huge, like big curly, like puffy hair. And then Yeah, so we were like, and he was very olive-y, so we were like, oh yeah, of course we're Italian.
Did he marry?
But it turns out we weren't at all.
Did he marry again?
My dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he married somebody named Ellen.
Ellen.
And what I love about that, do you like Tori Amos, Jesse?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So my mother's name is Myra.
Myra.
She's Vale Myra, but she goes by Myra. And my stepmother's name is Ellen, and her birthday is September 5th. And Tori Amos's name is Myra Ellen Amos, and actually, and her birthday is September 5th. And I was such a huge fan that I thought that meant so much to me. I was like, I knew we were connected.
Funny. Beth, if you're celebrating, what would your meal?
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a really good question, social worker Lenny. Like, you're like, she's not reacting to this dead thing. Let's rephrase.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like the dead thing. But I don't mind. It's not about the dead. No. It's if you were going to go on a desert island for 6 months, right. What would be your last meal before you went away? So it can be probably a celebration meatloaf.
Yeah.
But not with turkey.
With mashed
now.
Potatoes.
But would you make it with turkey?
Yeah. And hell, maybe I'd even eat the beef if I was like, it's my last meal, might as well be theirs too.
Okay.
You know?
And do you like gravy?
I'm not a gravy on my meatloaf kind of person.
Okay.
Y'all don't have meatloaf over here.
I can make it.
It's good, isn't
it? It's lovely. It's tasty.
Like, especially, I think like the East Coast way, like if you go to a deli or something, you get like a hot meatloaf sandwich. Yeah. It's made with breadcrumbs, kind of like a big meatball. Yeah. But in the South, it's kind of a money thing. It's like, and I think different parts, and probably, maybe not just the South, but like we don't have breadcrumbs unless we're gonna make them. Like, get real, you know. It's not like the we use saltines.
Saltines.
Yeah, and some people use oatmeal.
But that's quite good saltines, because it would give it a
best.
Bit of...
I'd love to make
salt and everything.
You put ketchup on the top.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And then that turns into this funny little skin.
Yeah.
Like a nice little... You know how you make homemade American pudding?
Yeah.
You know American pudding?
Yeah.
And like if you do it just right, if you do it homemade from scratch, there's that skin on the top. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
And you like to burst that through when you put your knife in.
Yeah, and then you cut it. And the best end is the burnt end on the end. You know what? Talk about that. Now that I think about that. That is probably my...
Any vegetables?
Yeah, of course. That's another thing about growing up poor. I was thinking, like, kids now, like, not just poor, but country. Like, you know, everybody had a garden. You know, everyone had space for that.
So you grew your own vegetables.
Everybody had, and if we didn't, because mom and dad worked so much.
Yeah.
Which is back to that thing where we didn't have a lot of meals together because everybody worked.
Yeah.
And my mom was a nurse and sometimes she had to work at night.
So who did the cooking at home if your mom was at work?
My dad could cook, but mom did. And it was very Southern fare. Like you had fried chicken and you'd have fried catfish. You know, you caught it.
Catfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what my dad's side of the family, that's what they did.
What does
they lived on the riverboat. Dirt.
Dirt.
Yeah, do you want to hear a story? I have so many stories. I don't want to take up too much time.
You tell the story. I want to check that the chicken's cooked. Mum, will you come over here and check? Because I'm scared. Yeah. I don't want to give any details.
Why don't you just put your fork
temperature in
there? And if it's pink.
This is fun. I'm coming in here.
Okay, good. Fine. Come in. I spatchcocked this. And I don't...
Oh, I've never spatchcocked.
Babe,
that's what she said. That was a good lesbian joke. Solid. Solid lesbian joke.
Yeah.
I would probably have cooked it. Okay, well, let's put it back in. I don't want
to kill Beth.
I just put you in for another
nothing.
5 minutes. There's nothing that you can figure out with your meal.
No.
Because you know what my dad used to say about old milk and stuff?
What?
This is one of my favorite Homer Ditto phrases. Uh-huh. He'd be like, Dad, this milk was expired 2 days ago. He'd be like, it don't know what day it is. And he was right.
It's a good expression.
Yeah.
Come over here.
To clean up after you.
Just come and sit. Just come and sit. You are the guest. Sit down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you here for
100 years in life? No. Is this thing about my last meal?
No.
And y'all are wondering because you want to make it for me.
Yeah.
Because you want to make it for me because I'm going to die soon.
That is such a funny. What would you drink at your last
tea?
Meal?
I would have
no alcohol.
My tea.
Do you have a drink?
You know, I grew up in a dry county.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But hang on. So no one knew was smoking dope.
Shit dope.
What's a dry county?
You're not allowed to drink.
You can't buy alcohol. You can't serve alcohol.
How many counties are...
There's a lot of...
Do you drink, Beth?
Oh, I love drinking.
Would you like a little glass?
I got do you want champagne? This to give even more off the rails? How off the rails do you want that?
Glass just kidding.
I'll have it. I love bubbles.
Okay, I've got a little bubbles in the fridge, so we may as well.
I can get them.
No, what are you talking about?
I'm a stop. I've heard they made tea. I didn't know
what
they made
champagne. What do they say in the South when you're drinking? Just cheers.
There's hands.
Well, they don't say anything.
They say,
it's dry.
They're like, you're going to hell, you big dumbass.
Oh, my God.
They
do.
Dry county.
You know, you missed hearing that Beth's paternal grandmother used to speak in tongues at church.
Yeah. She was a Pentecostal.
Did you ever get close to that?
I mean, well, no, hell no. You know when you watch people like that, here's the thing is I'm not religious. I don't believe in God, and I don't want to take it away from people that do. And my
Jessie
mother...
Jessie the chicken, don't
we? I do believe in that chicken.
If it
ever gets done. No.
Be fine.
I do believe in, like, what people believe is real. Like, I am not... You know what I mean? Like, I don't... Because I don't know, and I'm comfortable with that, and part of that, I think... comes from being in such an oppressive background of like not even being able to question why, like be like, what is, why does it say this? Like not even questioning that there is something right or wrong, but you didn't even have, there was no room for a conversation about any of it.
Okay.
Not with my mother. My mother's amazing. I love her.
Is she religious?
She loves Jesus. She loves, you know.
So she'll go to church still?
No. She did not go to church because I don't think she felt welcome there.
So
she sent us to church because that was the right thing to do. And she had so many damn kids. And on a Sunday, she's like, get the hell out of the house. I know there's a van that'll come pick you up. I know you'll be safe. You'll learn about God. That's where you're going.
And was she okay about you coming out?
Yeah, my mom's really great.
Yeah.
The beauty of having a mom like mine. It's hard to explain Arkansas and the way I grew up because she didn't guide me at all. Sometimes I needed it and she didn't. She didn't have enough to go around. You know, like... She was raising babies. There were babies to be taken care of, you know? And so, like, I didn't hold that against her, but, like, it was difficult. But I think that there's this thing, this energy. It's the God thing, you know, for her or whatever. I think there was this energy that she, like, put out somehow But to make her, I don't know what it is, but I do believe in that somehow. It's hard to make it make sense with how I feel, but, like with my own feelings to, like, higher powers and stuff. But I think that because she did love Jesus and she was really instilled us with a sense of like empathy was very important to her. And she had a very rough childhood.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women at like of y'all's age did.
Yeah. How old's your mom now?
Mom's, she's 67.
She's a baby.
I mean, but you know, same thing. Y'all would have the same memory and stuff.
Yeah.
But she also working really hard. That was her thing. Not really,
does
really
hard. Does
she
still work?
No, because I take care of her.
Good.
Yeah, that was the only goal. My only goal is, like, I'm not rich. Like, I am compared to other people. Like, I don't want to say I'm poor. Like, because I have been poor, and I know I'm not. And I always say I'm very comfortably upper middle class. And compared to a place that I grew up, that feels rich.
You don't still
live. But
that's
my goal, is to be able to take care of her. But I mean, I say that like she's in a home.
You don't live near her?
I don't. I live, like, 2,000-something miles away from
her. You live in L.A. now?
No, I live in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, you live in Portland.
I couldn't
now.
Live in LA.
Okay.
You could pay me enough to live in LA, but not forever. But
so
you could pay me enough to work there, but
so
I couldn't.
So where do
live
you do
there.
All your recording and everything?
It depends on who's making the record. We're not like...
So your latest record?
Yeah, we did in Kauai.
Hawaii?
We did it on Kauai in Hawaii.
Why did you choose Hawaii?
Yeah, we worked with, on this record, and he's one of my favorite people to work with, is Rick Rubin. Jesse, you know.
Rick Rubin?
Rick.
Oh, wow!
Yeah. So when, you know, you go where he goes. You're not going to be like, Rick, so, listen, baby, I got a really comfortable 3-bedroom apartment in Portland. Come over. Put your feet up. Like, it's not going to work like that.
So has he got a studio there?
Kinda.
Yeah.
That's what was so cool about this record. The making that record was that it was so... Because, like, when I say we made a record in Hawaii to people with Rick Rubin, like, you know what they pictured, Jesse. Like, you know, the Shangri-La in Malibu, that famous...
Uh-huh.
Studio that he owns that used to, it's like legendary, like
I've heard of it,
like the Bob Dylan. So he owns that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, babes.
That is really beautiful.
Thanks.
Do you like to cook, or do you just?
Yeah, I love cooking.
Wow, that's cool. Yes.
Right. Sorry, that has been right faffy. Sorry. You think the spatchcock's going to be a bit easier? But
no, that's the opposite of what I think. I've never spatchcocked.
So what we've got spatchcock chicken with a bit of parmesan and lemon and butter underneath the skin with orzo and spring veg, and then a tarragon yogurt dressing on the salad, and then we've got a little pud after, which is quite light.
Pud, stodgy puds.
Help yourself. Go.
Oh, you go, Mama.
So did you eat well with Rick Rubin in Hawaii? Was it an important part of the agenda, or are you just like, let's just rock out?
Me, okay. Rick is. It's not. Oh, it's so hard to explain. We went out. Did we go out to eat when we were in Malibu?
Yeah.
When we worked on Music for Me in like 2008 or something. I'm all right. You can dish me. I can bring it over to you since you're there.
Would you like? Do you want leg? Breast,
thigh. I would like dark meat on the bone, please. If it's easy to eat.
Just take the whole leg.
Take the leg. Take the box, but take that leg. And now here, I'll move this for you.
So this is, it's just a salad which has got yogurt and tarragon dressing.
This is my favourite kind of salad.
Really? Okay, good.
I like it if it's really chill or if it's over the top. Okay. I'm using my personal fork, but I did not.
That's fine. You're our friend.
Thank you. Did you hear that?
I heard.
You were saying, the thing about Rick, you worked with him in 2008.
Yeah, so when we were in Malibu and you're in the city and there's places to eat and stuff like that, we would go out to eat, you know? But when I think what it's so funny to try to explain Kauai to people.
Thank you.
Because it is very beautiful. I'm sorry. Very beautiful and luxurious, right? Like I do not want to sound like I'm not grateful. It's so hard to explain, but it's just trying to paint the picture. So people, I think people are saying, you know, Rick Rubin, of all the people, then you know, are like, he must have, it's got to be, of course he has access to anything he wants, you know, equipment, sound, whatever. But we were on an island, and not even an island with, say, a lot of things at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if we wanted a certain amp, we'd have to wait, like, rushed, you know, hopefully you would get in 4 days. You know, like that. So we were working like that together. And it wasn't because it was unorganized at all. It was because, you know, that's where he was that's just where he was at the time. I don't want to, like, air all of his business, but I'm sure you could read about it. But, you know, like, he had lost his home in a fire.
Of course, the Malibu fires. Yeah. Shit, I didn't realize that.
And I think after that, maybe I could be wrong. Sorry, Rick. Call me if you're mad. He won't be mad. But he might be, but we'll be fine. We'll talk it out. Or he'll just send me a brainwave. But it was the studio was very beautiful. It was very country. It's very rural. But with Rick, it was very, like, I say piecemeal is the best word I can use. Like, he was on we were on the beach, and you could see, and, like, Rick is very zen in that way, but everything's white. He always gets a custom couch built. And have you ever heard that about him? That he lays down. People say he lays down, but he doesn't lay down with us. He has. But he says he's less a player downer now. And he is on a big fitness thing. We talked about that a lot too. Because, like, we talked about how he was fat his whole life. And I've always been fat too. Like, fat. My mom used to say, I should feed you 3 jars of baby food before you'd stop crying. Like, I was always a real healthy eater. Had a real good appetite. Just always was big. And, like, so we talked a lot about, like, relating about that. And, like, how food was something that you could always rely on, whatever. In my house, it always wasn't because there was all. Mm-hmm. I mean, we weren't starving, but we'd have whatever. Yeah. So it was different relationships. But it was really piecemeal. It wasn't glamorous.
Where would you take us out in Portland? If we were coming to meet you, where would you be like, first point of call, I'm taking you to this spot for food?
It's so different now, you know? Because, well, I was never a foodie.
Right.
That's the problem.
But that's all right. But where's your favorite place to
eat? It is a foodie town. Mm-hmm. Big time. I think the best thing about Portland, and what really I think kicked off the foodie thing, was one of the best places to get vegan food. Like it was, and I think that really started, like people opening different kind of restaurants and like looking for different things. But in my opinion, because I moved there a long time ago when it wasn't. I moved there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So where I would take you would probably just be somewhere I eat all the time. You know where I would take you?
Where?
I would take you to El Burrito Azteca, which is just a burrito place that we go to.
What's your order there?
I always get a chicken burrito. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a burrito.
No.
It's comforting.
Oh, this is another thing. That's ADD brain. How many Americans have you had on this podcast? Quite a few.
Quite a few.
Have you ever noticed, and maybe probably from being in America, we do not know how to use a knife and fork?
It's not the knife and fork that we struggle with. It's clearing the plates before everybody's finished at the table.
What do you mean?
So we're
in America that they do that.
Yeah, we're told by Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland told you this?
He said
this is the funniest thing already I've ever heard.
It would be considered impolite to, like, if my plate is finished and we're in a restaurant, they clear the plate even though you haven't finished.
You're not Canadian.
He is Canadian, I think.
Yeah, he is, but he said...
I'm joking, it doesn't matter either way.
He is American.
Oh, really? What, to speak for Americans, huh? No. What if I was, like, mad about that? Well, you... That's right. I've never heard that before.
So why do you think the Americans
have
terrible...
Once again, two very different class systems we grew up in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where I'm from, if you went to a restaurant, they know you were done. By the stacks of empty plates at the buffet that you went to because the kids
the
ate
free. The buffet.
Because the kids ate free on Tuesday.
Do you like a buffet?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah. Hello.
I love it.
A little bit of everything. Just eating and just get a little bit of everything.
And then you go back.
And you go back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I spit. I was so excited.
So is there a good buffet place in Portland?
No.
It's a good...
Not. Oh, there used to be. There used to be an Ethiopian buffet in Portland that was... Awesome.
Bloody hell.
That's my favorite food, Ethiopian food.
You're kidding.
My favorite.
That
I love
big
it.
Sour pancake.
I love that.
You know what's funny is I don't like sourdough. But there's something about that bread because it's like injera. It's like because of the tefah.
Oh my God.
There's something about it in the way that... There's something very southern about it. There's got to be some link because it's like greens, collard greens.
Yeah.
Potatoes and cabbage.
Do you like curry then?
I don't know it very well.
But that's what you have an Ethiopian...
And spicy, like kids and a lot of things, yeah. I like Ethiopian curry. But like I only know the American version. I've never been to Ethiopia, you know? Well, it's my favorite thing. I will eat it until I'm sick.
Oh, right.
And I love it. It's just like... I like all the food touches.
Do you not partake in a curry when you
and
get
it's like
here?
Lentils and stuff, so it's like beans and cornbread. It's like what I was saying earlier. It has this weird thing.
It's familiar.
Yeah, I do. What do I eat when we come? Oh, I tell you what I always want to get. Number one, I get flapjacks from Marks and Spencer's. That bucket of those.
How did it feel? I mean, you did the Six Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
You headlined it.
Mm.
Was that the first time you performed these songs live?
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It was fine. You know, I think...
It looked great.
It sounded great. It sounded terrible, but whatever. I don't know. I never know. I don't pay attention. I don't like to pay attention.
How does it feel? But how did it feel to be on stage again?
The
together?
Hardest part was with me and with Alison Moyo.
Hard? It was
that
hard?
That was the hardest part. Not
because you
her,
adore her?
Because I adore her so much.
It sounded great.
It was so hard, though. I couldn't...
She
looked fabulous.
She looked fabulous. She was fabulous.
Sounded great.
She had wonder... Like, I loved... You know, it was so cool to me. Because I don't know her at all. It's the first time I met her.
Right.
And I did not... think in a million years she was going to say yes to it. And I was often like, I wonder if they paid her a lot of money or something. But not in a mean way, but I was just like, wow, like we were so lucky. She meant so much to me for so many reasons. So that was really hard for me. And I never had that, like, just, I didn't have a bad time, but I was so emotional. Like, I was really upset. I was like really teary. It was really hard. Couldn't remember the lines. I'm not intimidated by many people.
And
I found that to be really intimidating.
And you are such a performer as well.
And that's the thing. I was such, I'm so wackadoo. And I wish I could have just sat down and let her do it.
Right.
And it's like there's some people in life, like, I think there's another way of just why it's fun to be a part of that world, like this world, is that you get to see so many. It ruins the magic sometimes, but it also is like the part of the magic is that you get to see people and it's so surreal. But like, it's one thing like to meet people and like be around them and then you see them and you go, but it's another thing to like sing their own words to them while they're singing them to you. That was really hard.
Well,
I loved it and I appreciated it, but I couldn't sing through my tears.
Oh, I really couldn't.
Yeah. Like, and I was trying not to, like, I'm not good. Like, I love, you know what I mean? I like to play shows. I hate rehearsals. You're playing different show, Libra. You like rehearsal?
I do like to be rehearsed.
I hate it.
Jessie, who would make you cry?
Yeah.
Probably Sade.
What? Well, yeah, fuck yeah. I would have just jumped into the ocean. I would have literally been like, well, I'm out.
Or Barbara.
Sade or Barbara.
Wait, Barbara?
Yeah. Well, the one and only.
Barbara. Are you listening to her fucking autobiography?
Babe, I'm about 500 hours in and I still haven't finished the first chapter.
I'm just like, I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to leave.
Don't worry, it lasts forever.
And it's very long.
It's true.
How far are you in?
Not very.
Okay.
Are you listening to it? She's brilliant at
narrating.
There's
no way I would read that. When I heard that she goes on tangents.
I know, and I love it. And she's like, yeah, oh, that was a funny story.
She's like, I wore a red scarf to it.
I need to ask you some food questions. Did we get the Last Supper? Ish. Did
we
get
tried.
Okay.
Dessert.
Do you have, coconut cream cake.
Ooh, yeah.
But very American.
You've got a good recipe for
I
that.
Do.
Ooh.
Thank you, darling.
The thing about, thanks. But really, thank you. The thing about the recipe I always joke about is that I like to call it the funeral cake, because in the South, if someone has to die for you to get that cake.
Coconut,
you know, like, everybody brings you food when they die, and you know how, like, when you're dead and people bring you food? That's what it sounds like. But, like, when
someone dies,
you go over to their house, and then you eat all the food. And, then the poor old grandma or aunt ends up having to clean up the mess. So, it's so painful to watch. But there's always the coconut cake. And you're like, is this what it takes? And even as a little fat kid being like, what?
Someone has
I'm
to
like, y'all
die.
See what's happening? This cake is so good. They're never even going to have it.
So where would I find it?
And you
would
get it Easter sometimes because people
recipe.
Like to make it look like a bird. Got my recipe. There's, you know, those cookbooks here that, like, to people like at work, like my mom worked as a nurse, so at the hospital or the nursing home, they would put their recipes together and they
sell them
for charity, know?
Yeah.
And they came in that little plastic binder.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
I've got a few of those ones. And she, it came from that, but then.
Excuse me, Beth, will you copy it for me?
The New York Times.
They've got one. Coconut.
The only thing that I changed was instead of, it was that they used milk.
Yeah.
The southern one uses milk, and the northern one, the New York Times one, used coconut milk.
So it's coconut cream cake.
Or you could just coconut cake.
Beth, can you cook?
I used to, and then I just got, you know, I love hosting. I really love hosting, and like, I think... My partner and I are really good at hosting. We really, really got into it. Then COVID came. But I think I had, you know, I was married and got a divorce. And I think something happened in that time, like post-divorce, that I was just like cooking. Like I just stopped cooking as much. I don't know what it is. But also she was vegetarian. So I was caught, you know, I learned to cook a lot of vegetarian food and stuff. So not anymore, not as much as I did.
Would you have a little pud, or are you finished with
that? Yeah, I pud.
Have you finished your main?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mean to be ugly. I can take it with me. Can I take it with me?
Baby, you do not have to take it.
I don't have to do anything I don't want to do.
You have some pud.
Is this a plum?
Yes.
That's my favorite stone fruit cook.
Oh, good. So it's got a bit of Lapsang Souchong tea bags in it too, so you may get a little taste of tea. And then it's with creme fraiche and some ginger nut crunched on the top.
Lovely. I love it, mate.
Oh, my gosh. You've got a proper accent.
I'm really convincing.
No, I'm not.
Lovely. Lovely, I love it, mate.
Beth Ditto.
Can you play anything?
Not well enough.
Do you?
Can you?
Does it not frustrate you, though?
Yeah.
And then
should we get lessons?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, because I don't have time for that.
Because you're a punk.
No, because I have ADD. I'm never going to learn that. I can't talk.
Do you have to take anything for it?
Yeah. Okay. Hell, I would not have got here today if I didn't have it.
Like, really?
Yeah, I got medicated like 2 years ago.
When did you get diagnosed?
Maybe 3 years ago. During quarantine. I always knew I had it. I was always teased about having it. Mm-hmm. And people would be like, oh, you're so ADD. Mm-hmm. Especially my ex-wife would be like, oh my God. Because she was Virgo. She's so grounded.
So is it Adderall or Ritalin?
I take Adderall.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's a shortage. Not hard because, like, when you can get it, it's on. And people really abuse it. It's also a drug that you have to, I mean, it's quite literally amphetamine. And it does make you speedy and it does whatever. But I had never, like, even, you know, like, we're having this conversation and we were talking about all these different things.
Yes.
And it's not a, it's like, it's going everywhere. For the first time in my mind, like, I can always remember things, but I'm more aware of, like, oh, Beth, you didn't finish that story about Aunt Nancy, or you didn't finish the story about this. And not that it matters, mm-hmm. but before I wouldn't even have noticed. I'd just been like, Aunt Nancy, bubble pops, balloons, woo! Like, I wouldn't even have thought about it. And I think people thought that was, like, what's what I've always been taught, like, especially in music and stuff like that, and I'm being around, like, label people are being around other musicians and, like, especially, like, macho dude musicians mm-hmm. who are, like, and you're, like, cool guitar, who cares? Like I could literally care less. But, like, you know, someone comes to make great music. When good music happens to bad people and when bad music happens to good people, mm-hmm. I have a mm-hmm. genre. But it's made me more, like, even though I can go from tangent to tangent and there's this story that's a circle in my head, and now I can see that I didn't finish it or I did.
Is that
or,
frustrating
like, I can make a
you?
List but and is, do it. And I used to not be able to do that
But
before.
Is that frustrating for you to see going off in tangents, or you'll find you're okay with that because then you can go, right, I can pull it back to
I don't mind tangents. It's what
was
got
ignorance
me.
Was ignorance bliss?
I always knew I did it.
Okay, fine.
You know, I knew that I did it. And right. I think that's the thing. It's just like, it's not even that what is bad or good, but now I'm seeing that I did that. And that, but now I'm saying like, oh, if I did want to finish it or whatever. It's like, you're making connections and you're keeping track of things that you never did before. Like one of those things is like, I can pack my own suitcase. I could not do that before. And not that I couldn't. Like, yeah, I know how to bring your toothbrush, Beth, you big mm-hmm. dummy. And I'm good because when you have ADD and, like, you're diagnosed with it, especially, or, like, you have important things that you have to keep up with, like your passport, whatever. Your passport's the most important thing. Everything else is replaceable. Mm-hmm. Even your phone, your credit cards, whatever. But your passport is what you don't. Like, so I'm always just, like, passport. Like, you're almost to the point that sometimes you can't relax or sleep. Or if I have an appointment, this is before I took medicine, if I had an appointment at 8 p.m. or something, or if I had an appointment at 9 a.m. the next day, I would stay up all night, scared to death I was going to miss it. So I would just sit there. And then what happens is I end up being late anyway because my body doesn't, like, weirdly or for whatever reason, process time the same. Like, I'll be like, 15 minutes, that's tons of time. Like, and I really believe that. Like, I'll be like, I can do a full face in 30 minutes. And so now it's helped me do that. It does make, you know, it is a drug and it is. Well, I don't feel like it's a drug. I feel like it's medicine. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's abused and there's a stigma? I also think, like, it's hard to get right now. There's a shortage of it. So that feels really scary. But it has changed my life. I didn't know that there was a chemical reason. And now I do. And it kind of, it is heartbreaking sometimes, but it's fine. And it does, like, change the way you think about everything, you know? You'll be like, do people see me like that? And usually I don't care.
Beth, it's been such an
long
honor.
Day.
No, it's been an honor and a total treat to be able to sit with you.
It has
for
been lovely.
A couple
and the,
of hours.
The food was so delicious.
Oh, thank you.
It really was. I'm not paying you lip service.
Thank you.
Because I would just be like, thank you for dinner.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
But I just want to say, I think you're so special.
Thank you.
And
you're so special.
You're, I think, so adored by so many people, and you're a star.
Thank you. That's so kind.
And I love your stories.
Thank you.
And I love your tangents. I love it all. I love Beth Ditto. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I am so happy to be here. And your podcast is amazing, and the way that people are really talking. Like, people talk.
You're so generous.
But sometimes mostly with money because I'm really rich. So like, I'm not. I do fine.
I'm coming to your house,
but I love to tell people I'm so rich.
I am. I'm.
Thank you for having me. I wish I could have answered a question. Thank you.
You answered so many questions. You are amazing.
Can I just check when your album's coming?
I have no idea.
It's out on the 22nd March.
Thank you for saying that because I would never have remembered.
I'll be like, we're talking because we're friends. I'm sorry.
Well, I hope you're going to be at Glastonbury together.
Do-overs. Let's sneak in. Oh my God, I have an idea.
What?
You're going to come and buy
it. Okay. Picture.
You and me deal sneaking into other people's shows.
Oh my God, okay.
like the biggest ones too. Like fan
style. I think you should try and wear the same thing and have the stripes.
Oh my God. But that outfit I was wearing, my friend Giles Pearson made that. And like, he made all that stuff back then. I haven't seen him in years. And now that those pictures and stuff are coming back up, I'm like, people are so nice to me and they say such nice things about the way I dress or whatever. And like, but I just feel like I'm like, I never say his name and that's not fair. He was the person who was there when nobody would make anything for me.
Well, yeah. I love you on stage. I love what you... How you look. I love how you are the most incredible performer.
Nice.
You're also gorgeous and lovely.
Thank you. So, that's very nice.
I'm going to find you at some of these festivals.
Yeah.
I'm going to find
you. No, we'll find each other because I have plans for us and it's hilarious.
Okay, great.
Hi, Jinx. Let's get in trouble. Let's get arrested. Let's get arrested.
Anarchy.
I love Beth Ditto.
She's a force of nature.
She's wonderful. Darling. She's fab. She's so funny, witty, warm, has like a story for everything. Loved it.
Still never got the end of the catfish story.
Oh yeah, Nancy on the houseboat. Also, shout out to Ed Smith because that was a really good recipe.
It's very, very similar to the Nigella chicken in orzo with lemon. Oh. And you just bake it in the oven.
Well, I'm going to do it for my friends. I loved the tarragon yogurt dressing too. That was yummy. Wonderful Jo has come to help with the cleanup.
She's back. God bless Jo. She's
better. We do cook, but we're not as good at cleaning up. So yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
And my son has just entered the conversation. Do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Look what he bought you.
He bought me a little leaf, didn't you?
Tell mum what it is.
Bay leaf.
Ooh, we'll have you as a guest on the podcast soon. Thank you so much for listening and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.